you got it now.
Mikey D, I am Phil, and we have a little guest here.
Hi, yeah, I'm
yeah, producer Joel.
Sort of a guest. I mean, I'm kind of here all the time. It doesn't really make me a guest, I suppose.
A guest behind the mic.
Oh yeah, okay. Well, yeah,
there's that.
Sure, no, there's that. Hello, everybody.
Hello. Yes, we're here for 3 hours of Boston and New England musics, and we've been going through a whole lot of new stuff that we're going to play tonight.
It's so much fun. I won't lie. I don't get to talk about this too often. It's so much fun when people send us stuff. And, you know, Wednesdays I come in here with all kinds of new things, either on a hard drive or on a CD, and we just kind of listen to them and go, wow, this is really cool, or wow, this is really weird, or wow, this is really, I don't know. So it's always kind of cool. And we are still... We're still doing the COVID things in the sense that we're still requesting that you send us stuff via email.
Yeah,
you know, but hey, school's going to be happening here, what, in a couple of weeks?
No.
And then you know, we'll be able to
starting like next week, yeah, or this week.
Yeah, we'll be able to take in mail again.
So. Yes.
We'll give that address. If you don't know the address, it's on the WMFO.org website. It's also on our On the Town Facebook page.
Yes, yeah. On the Town with Mikey D.
With Mikey D.
Yes,
that's right.
You'll have a picture of the vast hallowed halls of the WMFO local music library.
Legendary. Yes.
So we have all of that. So one little announcement. We do not have Kiev Caustic here tonight.
They literally reached out to me around 6 o'clock tonight, and they were like, "Hey, man,
we have a family emergency.
They have a family thing, and you know, I usually, you know, we're going to try to do this, like, you know, start this year right, because we hadn't been in the studio for two years. We had a streak going there, man.
We had a streak going
from like June to like right now of having band show up. But no, in all seriousness, it is a family emergency, and we respect that. And we'll try to get Kiev Caustic back here as soon as our schedules will allow.
Yes.
How's that? Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
Do we have any other music right now in your hand?
Well, I do. Yeah. Should we play some of their stuff?
Yeah, let's get it out of the way.
All right, here's Kiev Caustic.
All right. On the Sound with Mikey D.
Nothing. Well, kind of nothing. I think the condom might have broken.
Broken?
Yeah, this is not good.
Okay, relax.
Relax? I mean, what are the chances of that? It's like...
Surreal?
Yeah. This isn't supposed to happen. We're being responsible here.
Okay, well, don't panic.
Don't panic? How can you say that?
Being responsible means having a backup plan, like emergency contraception, or EC for short. When you begin taking EC within 72 hours, it could prevent pregnancy. It's not an abortion pill, and it won't prevent HIV or other STDs, but it's a great backup plan.
It's going to be okay. It's going to be fine.
What? I thought you'd be the one to freak.
Well, I've got EC.
Oh, no, that's just great. What's EC?
For more information or to get EC in advance, ask your healthcare provider or call 1-888-NOT-TOO-LATE. That's 1-888-NOT-2-LATE. EC, because shit happens, brought to you by the Pacific Institute for Women's Health.
Without complaint, be a girl, be a boy, be whatever, but not destroy. Look them all in their eyes. Do not let your work be compromised. You're a passing fad if you have no long-term plan. You're a palace in shambles, darling.
91.5 WMFO. That was last week's guest, The Teardowns, with Piggy. Before that was Gene Dante and the Future Starlets with Diamond in a Trash Can. And we had that started that block off with a little Key of Caustic, you know, paying tribute to absent friends.
They're not dead. They just couldn't be here.
Yeah. Oh, just saying. Yeah, that kind of implies that they died, didn't they?
You know, you,
yikes. Sorry. Yeah. Wrong choice of words.
Yeah.
Wrong choice of words.
Yeah. Key of Caustic, not dead.
Not dead.
Just not here.
Yeah. Yes, you're listening on the Tone with Mikey D. And I'm Phil. We have producer Joel here, and
hi.
We wanted to bring up something that came to light early. Another thing that came to light.
Yeah,
early today.
Yeah. Let's talk about the big Middle Eastern elephant in the room, shall we?
Yeah, seriously.
I just don't know. I just don't know. I was gonna go on a tear about, you know, lamenting the loss of venues and all that other stuff, but I'm gonna go out on a limb here and just say, you know, maybe that's the best thing that the Middle East could do is to close and to reopen, because let's face it, that their reputation has not been good for the last 30 years. In terms of,
there is that,
and this is coming from somebody. I've been going to the Middle East since the 80s. The first time I went was with Chris Thompson,
okay,
KT, we went to see Firehose play at TT's.
Oh wow, okay,
86, 85, something like that, and we'd seen a couple of, you know, we had dinner, and that was the night they had a fire in the bowling alley, fire in the bowling alley. And the place was burning down. And everybody was calm. Nobody was saying, you know, please make it towards the exits. They did open up the doors to let the smoke out. But they just served us. We watched the belly dancer doing her thing. And you know, I loved playing at the Middle East. I loved playing the bakery. I loved playing upstairs. I loved playing downstairs. I loved mixing in that room. I was one of the few people that can make that room sound good.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
But, you know, and there are a couple of people who've just been there for decades and have just been like soldiers on the battlefield, where other people are like losing their brains and getting caught up in their own hype.
Right.
You know, these people kept it real and they're still there. Yeah. And Tim, Noah, you know, we could rattle them all off. It's just that every couple of years, like, I've noticed that the people that have people working at the door that, you know, all of a sudden have a little bit of power and authority, you know, and all of a sudden, oh, they have your wristband. Oh, well, hey, well, you got to ask them nicely. You have to ask them a certain way. You have to approach them a certain way. And
what was it called? Like that Studio 54 ideal or something like
something
that?
Something like that.
The gatekeeper type thing.
And then there, you know, a couple of the, you know, then the security there. I remember one person from security, because I'm getting on stage. I've got an arm full of microphones.
Yeah.
Security person makes me come back and go back down to the end of the ramp, because I didn't put the chain back properly.
Oh, good grief. Okay.
You know, and what for? Okay, I'm in charge. Great. And the Middle East has had people like that working for them all the time. It was only a matter of time before something really bad was going to happen. I mean, we had a friend of ours die at a show downstairs.
Oh, wow.
And
I had not heard about that.
This was some friends of the studio that I worked at back in the 90s in Jamaica Plain. And it was like, you know, we were trying to get in touch, you know. His family was trying to get in touch, trying to get his belongings, trying to figure out what happened. And they were just being jerks about it. You know, they're just like, well, hey, what do you know? What's the rush? He's still dead.
Oh,
they
geez.
Literally said that. And you know, my respect for the Middle East as a venue had declined. And then, you know, they weren't booking. They weren't booking well. I mean, they were, you know, remember when they had five bands because they were trying to be New York? They were like there's more band members and gear than they could fit audience members. And
I do remember, like, they would have two shows on Sunday, one afternoon, one evening. And the afternoon show definitely had like five, six bands. I mean, they're if I'm not mistaken, I mean, they were actually pretty cool and have them be all ages.
Well, they
so
well,
there was that too.
Unfortunately, all ages shows had to come to an end. Now, right. a lot of people don't realize that, you know, there's a reason why these shows come to an end, and it's not because the venues are trying to like torture people or anything. It's because people go there and they screw up. They show up with an attitude, or they show up starting fights or whatever, and that's what happened. That's why the all ages right. shows stopped.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with anything else. And then, you know, the whole buying that whole block and pricing the TT's out of business.
Yeah, I mean, nothing against Sonya. I have not set foot in Sonya yet.
I don't intend to.
I peered inside the door, and I'm like, okay, they took out all of TT's.
But that also raises
TT's is a cornerstone of my involvement in the Boston music
scene. Mine too. I think everybody that's been around the scene for more than 15, 20 years has the same story about that.
Mm.
But I think the other thing that's happened is, like, you know, there had always been a Hatfield McCoy kind of thing going on between TT's and the Middle East. And the moment they priced Bonnie out of existence, it's like, yeah, you know what? I just can't. And then after that was the scandal, you know. And, you know, I think the best thing they can do is shut down, rebrand. Hopefully by the time they build all this stuff up, people will have forgotten about all the bad stuff and will be like, oh, yay, it's coming back, you know.
Mm.
I can't speak to the people that love playing look, I loved playing there. I loved playing there often. We were like practically, at least one of my bands was there at least once every couple of weeks, you know, and I did a lot of sound there. I learned how to do sound at rooms like the Middle East up and down. And, you know, but at the same time, it's like, yeah, there are other venues to go too. But I think, what we need to do is we need to look at the bigger picture. First of all, what do we actually know?
Mm.
We know that this was like sort of plans that were like sort of leaked to the public.
Right. Now, everyone listening, this isn't set in stone yet.
And this is all our conjecture here. This has nothing to do with anything but my opinion and Phil's opinion at this moment. And if you want to opine, that's cool. You know, the lines
absolutely.
Are open. You know, I forgot where I was going with this, Phil. I'm sorry. Why don't we, you know...
No, it's all right.
Let's give them the number. It's like, okay, it's
855-915-WMFO. That is 855-915-9636.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there are people out there that are just as concerned about the venue situation as anything else. But, you know, my question would have to be, they spent a ridiculous amount of money to turn TT's into Sonya.
They did.
Yeah. So I don't think that anything that people are talking about is going to happen this year. It might not even happen next year.
No.
I mean, why would they spend all that money redesigning and rebuilding a venue only to tear it down, what, 3-4 years later?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So on the one hand, it's like, okay, should we be worried? Yeah, we should always be worried when a venue shuts down, because look, we all want to play. All we want to do in Boston is play music.
Mm-hmm.
We want to play music. We'll make a little bit of bread, get to play a couple of cool shows, get to hang out with our friends, and get to play cool shows.
Right.
Unfortunately, a lot of the cool places that we've been liking to go to have been disappearing. Now, I don't think any of us could fill, I mean, I'm sure there are a couple of bands that could fill any room, and God bless them.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But, you know, do we really need another 5,000 seat venue? Do we really need a large venue to compete with what? To compete with the Paradise? To compete with Sinclair?
Yeah.
None of these are going to be havens for local bands. Mm. None of them. None of them have been. How long did it take them to have headlining local bands at the Sinclair? It took them years.
It did take them years.
It took them a really long time. And I think a lot of people were expecting, you know, new club in Harvard Square. Why wouldn't they expect that? Why wouldn't they expect that to be another venue for people in the neighborhood to play some shows, for gosh sakes?
Right.
Right? So I don't know what any of these people are thinking. I just don't. You know, I would love for somebody to explain it to me. I mean, look, I've only been doing this for 40 odd years, and I don't get it. I just don't. You know, I mean, I understand making money. I understand business. I understand having a plan. None of this makes sense. The Middle East does not make sense. I mean, you know, I think, first of all, again, what we know is that nothing's etched in stone. This hasn't been decided. It still hasn't even been brought in front of the city board, the city council. Yeah. Okay, this was what was in the Boston business article that everybody's calling.
Yeah, a lot of the Boston and Cambridge articles have mentioned this, having it be converted into a hotel with music venues.
Yeah. Hey. How much does it cost to stay at the Verb Hotel again?
Oh.
Okay.
I don't know. This is what I'm trying to say. I honestly haven't looked into it. It does. Not gonna lie, the Verb Hotel looked like a lot of fun.
Yeah,
but
can you afford to stay there?
I have not even tried.
No.
So
the question is, who are they building this stuff for? You know, the culture, the artistry, the very scene that you want to cultivate, you are pricing out of existence. Pretty much. You know, after rent control in the 90s, nobody can afford to live in Cambridge. So everybody moved out to Malden and Somerville and all that. Now prices like that, people are moving out to Everett and Melrose. And, it's Somerville, they basically banned parking. You can't park anywhere in Somerville. They're all bike stands now.
Cambridge
is doing that. And you know, so it's like, okay, well, who's your audience? Who do you want to show up? Who do you want to spend their money? Mm. Who do you want in your venue? Who do you want buying your concept and idea? That's the question, right? And I understand. Look, I'm taking away some valuable airtime from you today, Phil. But you know, as a member of the Boston music community, and we are all members of the Boston music community. I mean, aren't these questions that we kind of deserve answered? You know,
well, we've been asking those questions for quite some time, and the questions have gotten louder since TT's shut down. And was it 2015?
Yeah, and Johnny D's.
And Johnny D's.
Which is still empty.
Yeah,
there's nothing going on there.
That is true. That is still sitting empty. Before TT's Kirkland Cafe Lounge. I mean, we could go further back.
The Kirkland and the Abbey. I mean, look, those are like, you know, the kind of old school, like heartbreaking stories. Those venues I miss. I think.
And those venues are still standing.
They're still standing, but they're not doing live music.
No,
no. And you know, is doing live music such a money loser for people that you know, you got to shut down like all these mid-level places and open up these big halls that nobody can play, that nobody can fill? Phil?
Yeah, no, I mean you're articulating something in a much louder, probably more aggressive manner than I would, mostly because I'm not a performing musician, so I haven't been on that side of the stage. I have been in the audience.
Yeah, well,
plenty.
Technically, now I'm in the audience as well.
Yeah.
And you know, but here's the thing. It's like there are lots of people out there that are doing the good thing. Okay, whether I agree with whether I'm friendly with them or not, or whether they like me or not. I mean, I will always champion the person doing the good thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's important. This is a music town. And the people that have cultivated this music town are the ones that stay, are the ones that are still here, the ones that, you know, form new bands and do these new projects and do all these new things.
Right.
You know, every now and again, one or two of the Berkeley contingent will have a band that decides to
go beyond Berkeley.
Well, that decides to call themselves a Boston band.
Yeah.
You know, Bent Knee calls themselves a Boston band.
Right.
Schooltree calls mm-hmm. themselves. You know, and there's a whole bunch of possibilities. And, you know, the thing about the pandemic that I enjoyed, I mean, not that there was much to enjoy.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's that. But we all endured. We all made music. We all figured out a way to get out there and to make things happen. And that's always been the biggest strength of the Boston music scene, is like, you know, no matter what happens, you know, can't get a gig, you know, remember when you couldn't get a gig at the Middle East upstairs? So you got a gig at the Kirkland.
Right.
You got a gig at the Abbey, you know, and then when you got a gig at the Middle East, you know, then you moved up. You know, there's no place, there's not as much opportunity to do that. And some of the places that are still left, I mean, look at what happened with the Cantab. The Cantab, who's going to go there now? Who is their audience? I mean,
how many times has that reopened and closed in the last 5 years?
Exactly. I mean, you know, you gotta ask yourself, why are you doing this? Who are you trying to lure in? Whose money do you want in your pocket?
Mm.
You know, and do you really think that they're going to come through your door? And you know, in the terms of the Kirkland Cafe, you know, they were trying to go after the rich college students and the tourists. That place has always been It's out of the way. It's a hole in the wall. Mm. It's always been a hole in the wall. And the thing is, look, we love holes in the walls. You know,
I've enjoyed shows at Kirkland.
Exactly.
I've had a great time at the Abbey. I mean, the early days of the Rock and Roll Social were at the Abbey.
Sure.
As far as the Middle East, for me, it's a soft place in my heart because that's where the first four one-night bands were there. And that and anyone who knows me in the scene, all of you guys listening, know I am the number one one-night band fan.
Yeah.
So I was just so happy that the Middle East hosted that.
You know, we're wondering, you know, we should be wondering to ourselves, like, okay, well, whose money are they trying to get? Because if it's our money, we can't afford it anymore. We can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, nobody can do it. Nobody can do it. Anybody that does do it, God bless them. I mean, it's hard to do. Mm. Everybody knows it's hard to do. You're either doing it for the love or you're doing it for the money. I think most people are doing it for the love because, you know, the club scene doesn't pay as it is. So now you're under the pressure of, you know, getting booked by a club that really doesn't want you to play there and having to fill it in a room that you're never going to fill. Now, again, like I said, I'm not saying that there are bands that can't draw in Boston. There are lots of bands that can draw.
Absolutely.
But we're talking about these large venues. We're talking about, you know, I mean, look, the largest venues that we, as a Boston rock community, you know, we're talking like 500 people, 750 at the Middle East.
Middle East down was like almost 600.
You know, 300 to 400 at TT's. You know, what is Sinclair holds, what, 750 or 800
yeah,
in
something
there.
Like that.
And it's like, look, that is a hard room to fill. That is a hard room to fill. And you know, venues do not, and they have not for quite some time, they don't promote their own venues. They don't do anything to promote the bands that they're doing. Mm. And unless it's a tour, unless there's some money behind it, you know, people are not going to say, hey, go see Joel's band Thursday night at the Sinclair. They're going to go see, hey, go see Tom Waits at the Sinclair.
Right.
You know.
Oh, and maybe Joel's band is opening.
Maybe Joel's band will be there, but they're going on half an hour before Doors, so don't worry about that. And, you know, and you know, also kudos to all the people that book really awesome shows. You know, and you know, they're people who are genuinely trying to do the good thing. And I think if these venues were smart, now that presupposes a whole lot. If the venues were smart, they would, you know, utilize this resource to curate better shows that everybody's going to want to go see. Because look what happened to Boston Calling. How many local bands play that one?
Oh, the last one? Yeah.
There was
quite a few.
How long did it take to get there? We're gonna have this great big festival in Boston, but we're not going to invite any of the bands that play Boston. And we're going to call it Boston Calling.
I stopped complaining about that a long time ago.
Because they finally figured it out.
Mm.
You know, the Boston Music Awards, they kind of figured it out. You know, it's like, okay. You know, I think that has to happen with the venues. I think that has to happen with all these venues. Whose money are you trying to get?
Mm.
You know, if you're trying to get money from outside of Boston, from tourists, you better start building. You know, I would be more worried about building some parking garages than building a venue.
Or parking garages instead of condos.
Yeah,
that nobody can move into.
I mean, who can afford to live? Who? First of all, if you assume, let's assume that you can afford to live in Cambridge.
Yeah, That was a pipe dream of mine for a very long time.
At this point, with all the stuff that I've ever loved about Cambridge, leaving Cambridge, I have no reason to live in Cambridge.
Yeah.
What reason is there? Culture? No, the culture has moved out. They're living in Roxbury right now. They're living in Melrose. They're living in Saugus.
Yeah.
Because they can't get a gig in Boston and they can't afford to live there. You know. Yeah. Okay. So I'm sorry. I had to vent.
To everyone listening, I know this sounds very dour, but what he's basically saying is that he's hoping that this thing can turn around, and it's like it's an oxymoron, but it's being pessimistically optimistic.
There are ways of turning it around.
Yeah.
And you know, first and foremost, I mean, there are curators in this city that know how to put together shows that people actually want to come and see.
Yeah.
You know. And, you know, it took them, you know, a couple of years for them to trust Richard Bouchard enough over the Sinclair.
Sinclair, yeah.
You know?
He's put together some really, really good shows at the Sinclair.
Yeah. He'll never book a band that I'm in. But that's okay. No, that's beside. I'm kind of retired from playing in Boston. So, I mean, it's for me, it's more about, you know, mixing bands and being that person on the side that's like, hey, we can give you airplay. We can help you out. We want to help you out because, you know, we want
all the crap that I do mingling in the crowd.
You know, we all mingle. We all mingle. We all want to talk to people. We all want to meet people. We all, you know, every single person involved in the show and every single person that's involved in music in the music scene here in Boston, they actually really care about stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that doesn't always happen. That hadn't happened since the 90s. You know, everybody was, you know, where it's a community and everybody's like, you know, kind of like supporting each other.
Well, we got that a little bit about 10 years ago about a year and a half.
Red on Red Records is and what Rumbar is doing.
Rumbar and Red on Red are all proof positive that
Boston is still like the best place to hear local music. I still think it's the best local music scene on the planet.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when I'm talking about this, like, look, I think for people who are worried about the Middle East shutting down tomorrow, it's not going to happen tomorrow. You know, it may not even happen for another, you know, year or two or three. Who knows?
Well, I mean,
I just don't get it. The question is, like, why spend all that money?
Yeah.
On Sonya?
Well, this thought just crossed my head while you were discussing this. Like, what if they build this, you know, condo building all around Sonya?
Maybe. Hey, just like Disney, like Sonya's like the Magic Kingdom, and all the hotels have a view of Sonya.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just said everyone can look down at the roof of Sonya or something like that.
I would pay good money to stay at that hotel. I bet that's got more. I mean, you know, are they going to have a rat room? Oh no! Actually, they could have a Middle East room.
A Middle East room and a rat room, and a TT's room. I mean, the Verb Hotel has the TT sign.
Oh, do they?
Yes, right. I think they grabbed the sign. I don't know if they did anything with it. Someone, someone, please let us know.
Yes, please, please do.
855-915-WMFO.
And speaking of new venues, speaking of venues, I do want to say one. I do have two words to say. Man Ray.
Yeah.
Man Ray.
Yeah.
I mean, when's that happen? When's that gonna open up? I gotta go out and buy some mascara.
Oh no!
I gotta go. Oh my God! I miss Man Ray. I didn't go there a lot because I'm a pretty dull and boring person, and I don't like to dance. I can't. I do not dance. I have absolutely no effing rhythm whatsoever.
Yeah.
No. Unless I'm playing. Oh, thanks, Phil.
I have rhythm, but I do not dance.
No. Unless I've got an instrument and I'm playing on, you know, I just don't. But some of my favorite, you know, we did some really cool things at Man Ray back in the Dizzy, you know, and I'm glad that Man Ray is going to have a new home. Finally. You know?
Right. I mean, how many years has that taken?
Exactly. But I mean that is. That kind of goes along with the people are actually listening to what people are saying.
Yeah.
I don't know. Folks, the Middle East is going to stay open at least through the end of the year or whatever. If you want to play those shows, if you want to play over there, play over there.
Yeah.
If you like that room, you should play that room. If you want to play that room, I won't play that room. There are too many issues that I'm conflicted with, you know, and it's hard. It's kind of like, you know, when, you know, if you grew up being like an OJ fan, you know,
and, oh yeah, absolutely.
Or if you grew up being a Robert Blake fan, or if you grew up being,
loving the Cosby show,
being a Phil Spector fan, yeah. You know, it's like, yeah, you know, guys, you kind of ruined it and you got nobody to blame but yourself if nobody shows up. When you break the new ground, but at the same time, you know, I don't know. Do you know? People seem to think that these venues have a duty to keep the cultural thing going. And the one thing that we've learned,
you want to think that
the one thing that we've learned, the reality is, like, you know, you want to talk to Joe Hernon's children about that one. You want to talk to the Johnny D's people about that one. You want to talk to, I mean, none of these. Everybody cashed out. And look, it's their right to do it. It's their business. If they're like, yeah, okay, you know, we've had a good run, let's do a thing, that's all well and good. I mean, it's not that they were like, you know, flipping everybody the bird. They, you know, everybody, you know, they had some great shows. I mean, hell, man, they had the best shows at TT's the last month that was ever open. They had better shows than they did for like years. You know, same thing like when BCN went off the air, all of a sudden they were
freaking amazing.
They were playing the kind of music that got people listening to the station in the first place.
Oh my God. I mean, we generally don't plug other stations on this program, but yeah, that final week and a half of BCN was just amazing.
Yeah, it was exactly what made everybody fall in love with the Boston music scene in the first place.
And then the last week of FNX.
Exactly. All
Same
of that
thing.
Stuff. Absolutely. And you know, folks, I love this scene. I really do. I will never not love the Boston music scene. I take umbrage with anybody that leaves Boston and just like, you know, has fingers flying up in the air and you know, it's like, yeah, I'm out of Boston. I'm out of you, man. I'm going on a bigger bit. Look, you guys don't know what you have. You don't know what you have until it's gone. This town has still got more clubs than any other scene in the world that you can play at. There are more opportunities to play. There are more opportunities to play in general because of the technology. And people are starting to, like, maybe get out and appreciate shows. But also at the same time, they forgot that live shows are loud.
Yeah. Well,
you know?
You got to keep in mind, like, all the porch fests that have kind of popped up in the last, especially during the pandemic, with no venues, everyone's playing outside.
Yeah. Absolutely,
yeah. So and those have kept going even with the venues opening. So yeah, I mean, people are still having an opportunity to play. They're not getting paid, but
yeah,
if they wanna
play. That's a whole other thing, you know. Look, folks. You don't haggle over the price of your dishwasher. You don't go to a restaurant and haggle over the price of a steak.
Yeah.
But you'd be amazed at how many people haggle over a musician coming and playing for your party.
Right.
Or playing at your venue. Mm-hmm. Or playing at your bar mitzvah. You know, people deserve to get paid. You know, musicians are people. And, you know, it's a very weird dichotomy because, like, people still think of musicians as people that failed at life. And, well, it's even worse. They think of sound engineers as people that failed as musicians. And, you know, I think a lot of that, you know, any band that is listening to my voice that has ever toured outside of the U.S. knows exactly what I'm talking about. And it's more about how people appreciate music and how people appreciate performance and seeing somebody, a living, breathing person right in front of you perform something, you know. I don't know why you don't think that's worth something, you know.
I always have,
you know.
I always have myself. But I also quickly realized that I am not the rule. I am the exception to it.
We need more exceptions to the rule.
We do.
That's what we need. Anyway, I've proselytized enough on you on your dime, Phil. Next week we will.
The opinions reflected are of Joel Simkus and Joel Simkus.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, I'm going to get a lot of hate mail, folks. But you know, that's okay. That's okay. Just address it to.
We're talking about this with a sense of optimism, hoping that there will be something to come, something that comes up out of this that can be a positive thing for the Boston music scene. I mean, I'm just thinking of the area that venue takes up. Right.
Yeah.
And if they're putting condos in there, and if they happen to have a venue on the bottom floor, that's not a bad thing.
It's not a bad thing if it happens.
If it happens.
If it doesn't happen, then it's going to be a lot of people just feeling that they've had smoke blown up their butt.
Right.
And
but on the flip side, how long did it take Man Ray to finally find a venue?
That's true. That's true.
So I remember when Man Ray closed, those condos went up in that space alarmingly fast.
They went up faster than a McDonald's.
Yeah.
I've seen McDonald's take longer to build than those condos over where Man Ray used to be.
Yeah, I swear it was maybe a month.
Yeah, if that.
Yeah.
So anyway, I wanted to thank you very much, Phil, for allowing us to talk. And for folks, if you have any opinions of it, please share. Please share. We are
at the On the Town with Mikey D Facebook page.
Absolutely. And Kiev Caustic, we will have them back as soon as schedules will allow next week. Something to be optimistic about. Senseless optimism.
Yeah. I
effing love Senseless Optimism. I cannot wait. It's going to be fun. The rest of the show is going to be fun because Phil's got a whole bunch of really cool new stuff.
We got a whole bunch of new stuff. I brought in some stuff. Joel brought in some stuff. And we like having the new stuff. So,
that's right. So keep sending it to us. We love you all.
All right. Let's get back to the tunes. We've spoken enough. 91.5 WMFO.
Reinventing, preserving. 91.5 WMFO Medford.